I was waiting for the fruit of the Spirit to... Oh, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. Good morning. Wow, I don't know about you, but boy, did I ever enjoy worship this morning. There's something about when men worship, it's going to sound like I'm being sexist, and I'm not. I don't have enough time to explain this. I want to preach this morning. But the principle is that God, with men provide a covering in their families. We provide covering in the house of God. There's a strength when men worship, and typically in churches, the numbers just statistically, way more women come to church than men, and so when men worship God, it causes the Holy Spirit to smile. And I just felt like we felt the smile of God today. Would you just thank the guys that, and Karen, I mean, wasn't quite a boy band, but it was close. All right. I want to start a new series today. And we're calling it, it's Heart for the House, and we'll subtitle it. And the Heart for the House series, we'll do them from time to time as we will talk about some of the things that we value here at Harvest. But just before I do that, I want to just let you know that there's an opportunity this Wednesday evening over at Heart of the Family Child Care Center between 6 and 7. They have an open house. Now, the open house is for parents with children, but this is a great opportunity. We often get asked the question, you know, I've never been over in the building. I've never seen what happens there. And Christina is really an apostle of child care. when I use that word kind of facetiously and yet seriously at the same time, apostolic ministry, when it does kingdom work, is when something is built from nothing, and then it extends from there, and it begins to draw influence from in the area and region. And she gets calls all the time. How do you do 24-hour childcare? You know, how do you do this? How do you do what you do? And so I'm just so very proud of just her leadership capacity and ability. We tell the story in step one. We made a decision when we planted the church in 2003 that there would be two wings of the church. There would be from the scripture that we were given at our sending out service in Messina, from a very strong father in the faith who's now gone to be with Jesus, Brother Dick Iverson, who was a part of hundreds of church plants. We had the honor that he's in the foundation of this house. And his word to the launch team was the scripture in Proverbs that said, tie mercy and truth around your neck and you'll find favor with God and with man. And so we took that as a word from God, and that we would have a mercy expression and a truth expression in the church plant. And little did we know, in our personalities, I'm very much the truth person. She's very much the mercy person. And that God would give opportunity for her to carve out of nothing what's thriving today over at Heart of the Family. We made the decision that it would not be a church daycare. And so we don't talk about it often enough, because we're often enough, full stop. But I just wanted to highlight it today. And mostly because she's not here and I can get away with that. And so what we felt was that by having a God-honoring kingdom principles operating and partnering with the municipality and the province, we felt very strong about that model, that it didn't have to be Christian it doesn't have to be a church daycare. But Jesus is still very much a part of what happens in there every single day. And most of the staff don't attend church here and wouldn't understand what they're even a part of. But because it's in the headship, God, there's favor both with God and with man. And the favor that she's experienced in both those areas, it's sometimes you physically have to see it with your eyes. I would just encourage you, if you're not doing anything on Wednesday evening between 6 and 7, just wander through. Christina can't give you a personal tour. She would love to. She will be, and her staff will be just at their very best for parents who are looking at the facility, who's, because there's a huge intake just a couple months ago at the end in this, she uses this auditorium for Christmas and for her graduation. And 90 kids are graduating out of the program to go to back to school, back to like, they'll go to kindergarten. So it gives you some sense of the immensity of over 300 kids between the two sites. And that many kids now coming in. So she can't give you a tour, but go and see. Go see. All right. So Heart for the House, and I want to talk to you about our value of the presence of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here in such a marked way this morning, because it just helps me point at why we love the presence of God and want more, and there is more. We know God, and we know Him experientially. We want more and more of His presence. We love what God's doing here at Harvest, and I want you to understand that that happens. There's an intentionality about how we build church. And it isn't just the staff or the dream team. It's everybody needs to understand the intentionalities. We build together what pleases God here at the house of God. And so let's just pray. Father, I thank you for already such a marked sense that you're here with us in the room. Father, I thank you that you want to talk to us and stir our passion and hunger for the things of God, the fire of God, the passion for your presence. Lord, I'm a candidate. Let us all be candidates in Jesus' name. Amen. Wisdom has built her house. Wisdom, a personification of Jesus, and yet wise things as well throughout the whole book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Wisdom builds the house. You build with wisdom. There's a wise way to build the house. And it uses this word hewn. We don't use that word. Hi, have you been hewning in your backyard lately? How's the hewning going anyway? It's a word that we don't use, but it really suggests very hard work. And you would hewn out stone. You would hewn out a large timber to make a pillar, either a pillar, a beam, or a pillar of stone. And it's construction terminology here in Proverbs. Wisdom has built a house, but she was smart enough to understand the wisdom, the godly divine wisdom, is that there would be pillars. Say pillars. And pillars, as we understand them, hold something up. And so as a church, we want to experience God. I want to experience the miraculous healing power more and more and more. On our Sundays that we have ministry time, more people getting healed, more people praying for each other in small group. Miracles, say miracles. We're going to see that where the presence of God is, there's miracles. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the First Testament church example that we look at, the model, is filled with the miraculous when the Holy Spirit is given permission to move in the house of God. And I say permission because we're the ones that co-labor and partner with. God won't just do it because he feels like doing it. He wants to do it because we're partnering with him to bring forth his will. And so to see more of these things take place, wisdom has built her house, healing and deliverance and freedom from addiction and all the powerful things that happen when Jesus is in the room, and we sang about it this morning. Well, there's a value. That value is based on on scripture. We call it doctrine. Doctrine is just a fancy word for teaching. This morning I'm going to do some teaching, and throughout the series, just I think it's good from time to time to remember that there's a pillar under the experience of worship. We're going to take 3 weeks and talk a little bit about why we clap and we raise our voices, why it's loud. All of these things that you might have a question about or forgotten that are actually important to realizing and experience the presence of God in the house of God. And so wisdom built her house. There are pillars. And so these values become the pillars that can sustain an experience. And I want a church, and you want a church with sustainability. That as we come each week, we're not wondering if God's going to come, not wondering if there's going to be a miracle, not wondering if God can speak to me in this service, but knowing with confidence that the pillar is where it needs to be, that we trust the Word of God, and we're building our experience on the Word of God. Say, Word of God. All right, it's our pillar. Wisdom builds, values are built on the pillar of doctrine and scripture. But I don't do that, and not just the staff does that, or not even just the dream team, for we are co-workers in God's service. We work together at this. And then it says, you are God's building. You are God's building. And we'll kind of look at this more and more, but we are, God doesn't come and fill this physical place. He's here today because there are people who are deciding, let's put our lives together as the church, God's house. As we put our lives together in community, Summer Step Out, which, by the way, just so many great reports. Thank you for being brave enough to step out, having gatherings. We're going to talk to you more about a plan for the fall to kind of build on that. It was just so, we think, successful, and hearing from you. If you have any stories about what it meant to you to be invited and be a part of a gathering, or you hosted one and just saw God do something, we would love so much to hear about that. You are co-workers in God's service, for you are God's building. Not a physical building, a spiritual building. By the grace God has given me, this is Paul speaking, doing apostolic work. He's building the house of God. I laid a foundation as, what kind of builder? What kind of builder? A wise builder. He built as a wise builder, meaning he was putting pillars. He wasn't building something small. He knew he was building a model that local churches would be modeled after for centuries to come, until Jesus would come back for his church. I'm a wise builder. And that word, literally, we get our word architect from. I laid a foundation. I'm modeling how local churches should be built. And each one should build with care. We should care about that part of care, but also really studying the blueprint. And we should all be studying the blueprint. So from time to time, I'll do what I'm doing this morning. We'll pause, heart for the house, some aspect of how we build God's house, a local church. Why do we do it like this? Why do we build this way? Why is that important? Why is it important for you to be a part and for me all to be a part of what God's doing? Because we're all architects. We're all building. We're all a part of this. And we need to look at the blueprint. When Moses was building a physical tabernacle for God's presence, Exodus 25:9, make God speaking, make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly, exactly. When God says exactly, he means exactly. He isn't saying you can fudge on this area, or maybe you don't have to be so passionate about that, or, you know, maybe as we talk about some of the physicality of our worship, the raising of hands, and the scriptures, you're going to see the scriptures talk about raising your hand. I don't really want to do that. I'm uncomfortable. And I appreciate that. So isn't everybody? It's kind of, the first time's kind of awkward and weird until you begin to understand that God says, there's a pattern I want you to build after. It's exactly what's in the blueprint. For a reason. God placed it there for a reason. We want to build with wisdom. So make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern, the blueprint that I show you. Of course, not a physical one. First Peter tells us, as a New Testament church today, you also, like living stones, we're the building material today, are being built into a spiritual house. Say house. All right, I'm talking to you about the presence of God. I'm talking about heart for the house, and that we are the house of God together, and we expect something to take place each and every week as we come. I want to ask the question, as this has been this precursor and leading up to this, why the analogy of a house? That we are a building, we just read, we are a building called the house of God. Why that analogy? Why that analogy? Why not something else? Why the analogy of a house? And as we look at it, I think a lot of people would say, well, because we're a community. You know, God's our Father. And we're brothers and sisters. I grew up in a church where we actually refer to those that were older than us, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. And if they were a little bit, like a lot older, then it was their last name. And a little bit older could be their first name. And it was just a way of honor and a way of fond, you know, description, celebrating that we had a family, that we belonged together because we were in the house of God and God had added us to his church. But the house of God, this I may be oversimplifying it, but I really want you to see this, hear this as we go into these next points, because that's where God lives. It's called the house of God. We're just, because that's where God lives. God lives in his house. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, okay, is that more important than your, because it like, you're really, Pastor Roy, you're acting like that's like I'd never thought of that before. I want you to really think about it, because some churches, they're okay with God visiting his house once in a while. I mean, everything's happening in God's house, but God's not always there. And there, as we will see, when I say there, meaning his manifest presence, not his omnipresence. We know God is everywhere at one time. Not his omnipresence or even his Emmanuel, God with us, personally presence. But what happens when the building materials all come together corporately within the anticipation as we are linked together? God's in the house. God's at home in his house called Harvest. And God loves living amongst his people and showing himself real in the house. Come on, somebody. Not a visitation. And that's why you'll never hear me preach about, I understand the spirit of revival and what that means, but people have misunderstood for centuries and wanted a visitation of God. When God has been longing for his people to go, we want a habitation. We want God to dwell with us. And we're going to see from the scripture, that's actually the promise of the last day church, is that there would be a dwelling place. God would always be manifest. His glory would be experienced and known all the time. So it's the place that God lives or dwells. That's why it's referred to as a house. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. And that's descriptive of the omnipresence of God. God's saying, hey, I feel all in all. I'm an omnipresent God. I am everywhere at once in the whole universe. There's nowhere you can go where God is not. God is everywhere. In fact, the Bible says you can make your bed in hell itself and God can find you there. And so God's presence is everywhere. Say everywhere. Everywhere. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. But then he asks a question. Where's the house? Where's my house that you're building for me? And where's my resting place? And he asks Isaiah the prophet, and he asks us today, I am an omnipresent everywhere God. And we don't just wait for Sunday to experience the presence of God. We want to be doing that each and every day in our quiet and prayer times with the Lord. But he's saying, when you come together, my promise for the earth was that there would be a place on planet Earth where heaven could be smelt, visualized, seen, experienced, that the air in a room like this could be ratified, electric with his presence. Where's that house? God's asking, where's the house you will build? For wisdom builds her house, pillars, wise master builder, we're all building together. Where's the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? When God manifests his presence in that very tangible way, which is what, and that's where we see marked amounts of miracles take place, marked amounts of salvation. Everything becomes really more exciting as God does that. And as we experience that house of God, and we look at, this is God's house, he wants to live here. Resting place, say rest. We think that God's looking for the living room where he can go sit on the lazy boy and watch us all do what we do. And he's kind of present, he's here, he's high-fiving, and he's at rest. He's relaxing in the lazy boy. And that's not what this word means in any way, shape, or form. We need to go to its first mention, the first time we see this word mentioned in the Bible, to get some understanding of this idea. Remember, we're building a house for God where he's going to rest. His question, where is it and where's my place of rest? In Genesis, it describes God creating. Well, why did God create in the first place? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit doesn't need anything. God is complete. But they wanted to share the perfect relationship that they had in the Trinity. God wanted to share his love and pour it out on humanity. And so God created a place for humanity to be. And the original blueprint for God was that that would take place in the Garden of Eden. But as we kind of look at the scriptures, it's kind of intimated and kind of understood that God's intention would be that that spot in the garden would have grown into the whole universe. That God's presence and man and the purpose of God would have just continued growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Sin canceled that for man. Man ran away from that. And Jesus restores the intention of God that there would be a place. And there's a finality of a new heaven and a new earth in God's presence. And we're heading in that direction at the end of the age. But until then, there is and can be heaven on earth. Until that garden blueprint intention of God, that through salvation and through what God promised man, we can experience God's presence on the earth together corporately. It's called the house of God, and we're working together in the intentionality of a pillar called, we value that and we want that a lot at Harvest. How are we doing? All right. So God said at the end of that work period, and God said at the end of, you're going to see another work period, but the original one, by the seventh day, God finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, not in it, very important preposition, on, say on. On the seventh day, he rested. God rested on the day, or on not just the day of the week. God's presence came and rested on an era, on a time period, on a new day for planet Earth. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we come and God starts a new era by his presence and glory resting on his creation, and the glory of God was seen throughout the whole earth, not just in the Garden of Eden. God's weight, the weight of God's presence, boom, came and rested on creation. The creator of the universe, his glory, not man's glory, though man was the one who would work in the garden and would fulfill and partner with God, it was the canopy of God's glory, boom, that rested or came and inaugurated an era that was marked by the presence of God on the earth. That's what the Sabbath rest. And we honor that by keeping the Sabbath, by remembering there was a whole era. Now, we have to wait till the millennium, at the end of the age, where that's going to happen physically and literally. But today, spiritually, and it leaks out into our world and leaks out into our everyday life here as we see God's presence come and rest. What are we answering? Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Really glad you understand the omnipresence of God. But do you want to see me rest on your corporate gatherings? Because I'm looking for a house. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his headship, his authority, his presence. And he's looking. Will we say yes? I think we have already. I think we do. But today's Heart for the House, and I'm reminding, maybe this is the first time you're hearing a message like this, that there's a reason we do what we do, because we want to be intentional about this, and we want more understanding and perception about his presence. And if you agree with that, you said, when the day of Pentecost came, another work that God did that Jesus completed. Oh, by the way, Jesus said, it is. God said, it's finished. Rest. Jesus said, finished. There was another resting. Watch this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, the birthing of the church. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, the symbolism of the Holy Spirit, that separated and came to... Oh, no, come on, guys. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm preaching better than you're responding. It came to... Yeah. And there it was. And God took his place and his glory filled that room. And the New Testament church, that's the model. That every week the glory of God is already here waiting for us to put the pillar of understanding and say, today I'm coming ready to be someone who's building at Harvest that we will experience the presence of God in a profound, that he'll rest on us. In order for that to happen, I have some a number of P's. We value God's manifest presence. And there's some things that we will do practically. I had a bunch today, and we're not even going to get close to them. And so the series, I realized, just got a little bit longer, but that's okay. And so today we're only going to do one P. In your notes, you have a couple of P's for presence. We have to perceive his presence. We have to perceive his presence. I'm just putting my glasses on so I can perceive the time. We have to perceive his presence. Understand what this is really about. Story in the Old Testament about Jacob, and he leaves home. He sets out to start out his life, and is a whole context around that. But what's important for us this morning would be that he's off on his own, first time young man leaving home. Jacob left Beersheba and he set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, just some place along his journey, and it was nighttime, he decided he would camp there. This is a good spot to camp for the night. It wasn't any important place for him, but as it turned out, it would be an important place for God, an important place for us, and an important place ultimately for Jacob too. He stopped for the night because the sun had set, taking one of the stones, interesting, he put it under his head and he lay down asleep. He rested on a stone. He rested on a stone. Do you see it? I don't want to explain that. Just tell me you really, and if you don't get it, wave your hand at me anyway and say, Pastor, I'll re-listen to this message and I'll wave at me. Just wave at me. Are you here this morning? Just wave. Could you just stop and wave at me? Just make Pastor feel a little bit better. Thank you. China. All right. Here we go. He rested on a stone. I don't know why anybody would want to put their head on a rock for a pillow. Maybe he put some kind of padding on there just to raise his head. But in our story, as the scriptures are so, nothing is missed. If God put it there, it's there for a reason. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were up and down, climbing on this ladder, ascending and descending. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, the voice of God in his dream, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south. The promise of that natural Israel. And then as we don't have time this morning, but the New Testament talks about spiritual Jerusalem, spiritual Israel, a place of God's, not a physical place on the earth, but a spiritual place on the earth, God's house, God's, and I don't have time, but I'm just saying that to you so you could, this promise is actually us today. That people who are being saved, being born again, spreading out to the east and the west and filling the whole earth, filling Cornwall region, Eastern Ontario, and Quebec, people finding Jesus. Someone say, amen. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, because he wasn't perceiving this until now, he awakens, and I'm praying for an awakening. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't aware of it. He was afraid, not afraid like, oh! But he was afraid reverentially. oh my goodness, how awesome is this place? Like there's some potential here. Oh my goodness, if I was really to perceive and understand this, if I was really to get behind this, if I was really to be one of those living stones that understood that God is looking for a house and a place, and I was to do what God said we need to do to be that kind of a church. Wow. What could happen at Harvest Christian Fellowship? What could happen in small group? What could happen in my workplace and in my school? Oh my goodness, what could happen? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. He's prophesying. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took a stone, the one he'd taken under his head, and he set it up as a pillar. Hopefully you're following me this morning. It's intentional. Wisdom builds her house with pillars. Pillars are stones. They're hewn. God works with them. They weren't perfect when God got a hold of them. There was some hewning. I don't know about you. God's still hewning me. And we're to be pillars, stones, living stones being built. That's the genius. We're not perfect, but God is working with us. And he took the stone that was under his head that said, I'll let you rest here. The stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. The stone that I set up as a pillar, he poured oil and anointed the stone. The Holy Spirit came and rested. As we understand the work of the Holy Spirit on our lives, you might feel like you're just being hewn out. You're just really a rock that you don't think you amount to much. But when we understand and come together and say, Holy Spirit, anoint. We talk a lot about this in our dream team where we serve the Lord each week. And here during our worship time, a very powerful time where we say, Holy Spirit, come and anoint me. I want you to come rest on me so that you can rest on us. Why? Because that is the essence of local church. This is the core. This is the main thing. This is nothing. Salvation won't happen. Healing won't happen. They might happen in a long while, but they don't happen in a sustained, every week kind of a fashion unless we say, this is the house of God, a place. Let me just unpack it real quick. I know our team's coming, and just look at the scripture. So one of the things that he perceived, say perceived, I want you to see this. So I want to be part of this, Pastor, is that there was a opening in heaven, and there was a ladder. And on the ladder is heaven activity moving back and forth. There's earth stuff going to heaven, and there's heaven stuff coming to earth. There is a gateway, he called it, a portal. No one on planet Earth will come as close to heaven's atmosphere and what we will experience in heaven outside of a local church gathering. There is no other place on the earth where that can take place. Now, some people may, you can differ with me if you want, but I will say chapter and verse, show me where the Bible says that it can happen, but something in the expectation of God. God said, my house, where I live, where my people are saying, this is what we want. That's where it'll happen. And so this ladder, this gateway. Well, interesting. In John chapter 1, Jesus is picking his disciples, and he, by word of knowledge, he uses a miraculous, there's a miraculous miracle, a miracle that takes place, a manifestation of the glory of God, where he calls Nathanael by name, never having met him, and tells him about his past, having no history with Nathanael. Nathanael is blown out of the water. And like, you're a prophet. you know stuff. And so, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. We don't have this slide. Just listen. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you in the spirit. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because you saw a miracle. You believe because you saw a miracle. Nothing wrong with that. He said, you believe, you have an understanding of who I am because you saw me do a miracle. Jesus said, I'll keep reading. You believe because I saw you on the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then asked, "Verily, verily, I tell you, you will see." Listen to what we will see. This is what he pronounces, that where, because there will be a new age called the church age, where the church understands this. He said, "You're going to see even greater things than that. You ain't seen nothing yet." And he said, here's what you'll see. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on a ladder called the Son of Man. I'm the one that opens the way. I'm the reason that heaven's atmosphere can come to earth and the earth needs can be presented to heaven. It's because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. But he ties this idea and says, if you're looking for people to come to know me, if you want people to really understand and they really do respond to miracles. I see how God is real and they experience, they know God because we create an atmosphere here at Harvest each Sunday where people can know God and know him better. Jesus said, I am the ladder and the fulfillment of what Jacob saw and prophesied about. How awesome is this place? And in that place, we should expect God's voice. Jacob heard God's voice. We should, when we preach the word, when we pray for people, as we prophesy, there should be a higher clarity of the word of God. How many you come and go, I just need a word from the Lord? We will experience that more and more as we understand the house of God. And then God promised, I will not leave you until I've done all that I promised. How many would like to really hear more of the promises that God has for you? Can I just see your hand this morning? You're up for some promises. How about God's provision, not just the promise? How about the answer to the promise? God said, he said to Jacob, I will bless you, not curse you. The sin and the law cursed, but God comes to reverse everything that sin cursed. God comes to bless, and I don't have time to unpack all that. We're going to wait till next week. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. As we just transition our time this morning, just kind of to set up this teaching and to perceive that this is throughout the scriptures. This is not just something that we do because we think it's cool to have cool music and cool, we value this because Jacob said, wow, I get it. And I want us to get it like never before as we refresh these understandings in this series. And this morning, perceiving that God wants to rest at Harvard, not visit. He wants to live here in a new, profound way. All across this room right now, just as the musicians begin to play, I just want you to search your own heart, and I'm searching mine in these days. Next week, we're going to talk about the price, and there's a price to pursue his presence. To pursue his presence. We perceive it. We hear about how incredible, and I wish I'd had a little bit more time, but no, I don't, because we're just going to continue this. But I'm going to keep whetting your appetite. What happens when we see God move? What happens when miracles begin to take place over and over and over? Sustained miracles. Sustained salvation, sustained people getting, and we're thankful that people get saved every Sunday at Harvest. But what about more? God wants to increase what he's doing. He wants to turn the volume switch, and he's saying, heaven's my throne and earth is my footstool, but in Cornwall, and we're not the only church, but today he's speaking to us. Where's the house that you're building? Do you understand the blueprint? And where can I rest? Will you be the stone that simply says, I may not understand all of this, but yeah, Holy Spirit, come anoint my life afresh and anew to be a carrier and a courier of God's presence. I want more. I want to experience more of God. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you as we come into this fall season. We are going to experience more of you. But because we studied the blueprint, because we just paused to say, let's build with care. Let's make sure we're getting this right. Thank you, Lord. Just remain in a place of prayer. I just want to ask the question. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I believe that Jesus initiates. In fact, one of the books of the New Testament talks about an analogy where Jesus knocks on our heart's door and says, "Can I come into your life?" Because of his death on Calvary, we can have forgiveness of sin. We are separated relationally from God. But then there's a moment where grace knocks on our door and offers us salvation and says, "Will you receive forgiveness? Will you receive eternal life? I went to the cross to give this to you. And that you could know not religion and not about God, but you could know Jesus personally." And he knocks on the inside of our life and says, "I want to have a relationship with you." But in order for us to open that door and have him come in, it's not that we clean up our house. It's we acknowledge our house is filthy and dirty and it's because of sin. But he wants to come in to forgive, restore, and give us eternal life. If that's you today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I believe he's knocking on your life right now, speaking to you right now, saying, "I want to have a relationship with you." This morning would be my greatest privilege to lead you in a prayer of response to that, inviting Jesus to come into your life to forgive sin and begin being born again and begin your eternal life with him today. Not when you die. It starts now. If that's you, I'm going to count down from three, simply 3, 2, and 1. And when I reach one, raise your hand this morning. And what you're saying is, "I want to pray a prayer today." We're all going to pray together. We're not going to single you out. We're going to pray with you. We'll all pray this, but you're going to make it your prayer. After we pray, I'm going to ask you to take one more step to simply fill out a form that you came in and give it to one of the host team. We just want to give you a Bible and celebrate the most important step you've ever made today, right now in 3. This is for you today, 2 and 1. Raise your hand if that's you today. Say, "Pastor, include me in the prayer." Is there anyone in the room today? Just take a moment. I don't see a hand, but just to always remind us, this is what we're about. And perhaps online, if you're watching and you want to make this decision, you can text in right now, "I'm making a decision." Let's pray this prayer together. Harvest, dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Come into my life today. Forgive my sin. Thank you. As I receive new life, new destiny, I am washed clean. I am born again today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, why don't you stand, Living Stones? Stand today. Go home with an anointing. You'll be dismissed in just a moment.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Will cry, his bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, his bones will sing. Great.
God, we just thank you for this morning. As we go about our week, God, we just pray for wisdom. As we're building your house, God, a place of your rest, a place where we can experience you, God. God, I just pray that you just bless everybody this morning. Keep them safe as they go about their week. Amen. Thank you, Harvest.